Good Independence Day afternoon and welcome to Home Run. I'm very creative with this.
Independence now, Day.
Yeah. Independence Day. And August is a very important year.
Why are you stealing people's words, Albert?
Mind the Gap to Home Run. It's August 26th, so you know what that means. It's a Heroes Day, and that's taking place in the Zambezi region. So just a reminder for those of you that have been living under a rock, and welcome back to the surface. Now,
yeah.
We're still with Home Run. We're still with Home Run, and we will be here as usual until the hour of 6, bringing you what we have on the menu for you this afternoon. We always have something on the menu.
And today's one is actually one, it's not light.
Mm-hmm.
It actually takes you into a different, particular, deeper thinking scenario.
Yeah.
That's obviously based upon even how you, our, you know, most valued stakeholder, the audience and listeners of Eagle FM, how you guys also interact specifically with the various particular platforms that we have access to. We Eagle FM and the Village obviously provide to you. That's aspects in terms of digital ad outlets, conventional, which is radio frequency, and then obviously how you interact with these particular aspects in terms of, you know, leaving a comment, leaving a like, sometimes interacting with the particular talking points that stem from the, you know, from the various conversations and shows that we conduct on a daily basis,
yeah,
as well as also some of the, you know, the interactions that you yourself have with us as well here on air. And obviously, you know, based upon the current subject matter or topics that obviously are floating about in terms of the broader Namibian discourse chamber. I use chamber because in many cases, you know, you do find echo chambers. But I'm expanding the chamber a little bit broader, making it more
beyond
national,
the echo.
You know, beyond the singular echo aspect. But yeah, it's what we're looking at for today, dear listeners.
Now before we dive into today's discussion of for those of you that saw our poster, then you know that you know there's somewhat of a question there that is basically rhetorical. You don't have to answer it. You basically have to ask yourself that question and analyze how you do your, how you access, almost like how you find and access the information that you consume on a daily basis on different topics and whatever it is that you're interested in, be it science, astronomy, God forbid not astrology.
I always get confused by the two. And then I realize, oh no, the other one is the,
The one where you sound nuts.
Are we matching?
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's not my fault. I'm just I'm just a zodiac. No, just take responsibility. The celestial bodies have little to nothing to do with your screw ups. Let's just.
Or with your actions on earth.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's just, fishing for excuses, if you ask me. But the point is, it's a very good question to ask. It's a very individual question for all of us to ask ourselves. Where do you get your information? And, how do you tell, for example? I think, Dwight, this is where you come in now, big time.
Mm.
How do you tell if which source to use? And how can you tell between information that's authentic and misinformation? And I think thanks to technology and the use of AI generated videos, and basically at this point you can generate pictures and pretty much anything. It's a very important question to ask yourself before you start consuming whatever information and wherever it is you are finding it. How true is this? Yeah.
About the aspects of the digital influences, rather.
Oh dear. Let's not get there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because I wanted to jump there.
No,
I've actually seen it. But like you said, let's hold the horse there.
Let's hold the horse there. There's a quote. Now this is based on what's going on in the political, you know, in the political sphere, because most of the information that we absorb on a daily basis is one coming out of the political sphere, because most of the information coming out of the economic sphere is wrapped in a lingo that's very financial. So a lot of people go just see a bunch of tables, and if you are graphs anything like me, then you are like, I don't understand.
And moving images.
Exactly. Then then you go back to which political party is having beef with who, then you are like, hallelujah, now we're talking.
Okay. Look, I now understand your question.
Thank you.
Okay, let's start from the political side of things.
Yeah.
So the report itself, so dear listeners, if you've seen our poster, the poster cites the Reuters Foundation and Oxford University 2025 Media. It has a different name. I just want to be sure about the name, because the World Economic Forum guys cite the same report, but they call it, they use a different name to it. The one we've obviously got here is known as it's the Digital News Report.
2025.
I downloaded the 2024 one also last year. We never got to talk about it then. At that stage, Hamid, we were going through a lot of, you know, particular developments locally in Namibia. So you and I, we could never factor it into our menu of our planner.
Yeah. Last year, especially towards the end, things were tense with the whole elections and stuff.
And it was elections for major economies and major countries across the world.
Yeah, across, not just Namibia.
Now, getting now obviously into this particular talking point, the authors of the report, the two entities, cite that, specifically, okay, let's break it down into even more smaller pieces. Mm. The report is based upon who has internet access, or they use another term known as internet penetration or connectivity penetration. Mm. They indicate specifically that if you come to the African sphere and certain parts of the developing world, which would be in Asia, it's, they've got two things known there for the Asia block, and I think South America, and even parts of Europe, they cite there specifically, you've got to take certain particular countries with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. If you come to Africa, you have to do not expect the same particular standard of internet exposure or access to internet to be as widely common as you would find in Western Europe, in China, in Japan, or in North America.
Basically developing
countries. Yeah, which is predominantly 95%. Literally, Hamid, they indicate that in their methodology that it was an aspect that they made an assumption that about 95% of people in those countries or in those clusters have access to internet. Now, obviously, Namibia is not there, but we can look at South Africa's particular aspect in terms of similarities and in terms of what's going on. So, the picture on the ground stems to one based upon where are people going to for certain kinds of news items. Now, you started obviously with coming to economics things, and people are going like, actually, did you know that business news and economics news is actually easier for me personally, for me to read and literally to understand than understanding an abstract scenario that fell out of the sky regarding something political?
I think it takes one to venture into that information, sort of like give it a week or two of trial run of just reading news coming out of the economic sphere.
But ask yourself this question, Hamid. Yeah. Everyone wants to work or wants to be a business owner.
Yeah.
Which is an economic activity.
Well, the business we are talking about not, is one of tenders. You know, that's where political.
Even so. Remember,
that's about knowing
when that tender ends, you have to ask yourself the question, what next? Your business cannot run on one tender.
No, you have to know a guy who knows a guy who makes sure to make sure that.
And remember now with the Procurement Act and all, there's no extending the same tender, because you'll have a standing committee asking questions of a whole host of ministries. Why is Dwight's company still on the same tender 10 years
why
later.
Why have they been winning tender for the past 10 years?
Or why is that one tender being extended for the same, for this, for 10 years up to now?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, no one wants to be in the headline of scenarios. So yeah. I'm just setting the scene. If you've spoken to any person, many of them will tell you they want to work for themselves. They want to make their own money because they want to control their own production aspect.
Yeah.
And they want to be, they literally want to be a one man, one woman, boss, worker, self-sufficient little, you know, situation. And, oh yeah, they also don't want to pay tax in many cases. But unbeknownst to
that's
them.
That's a global phenomenon.
Yeah. Unbeknownst to them, they're already paying taxes in, you know, buying petrol and paying
don't
water.
Tell them that. You're no, just cementing the idea of a world system.
You know, I always like, you know, giving you the gotcha, you know, aspect in terms of telling you, but you're already paying taxes. Don't worry. So somewhere, Namra is still getting its money. So when you look at that picture that I now sketched for you and you now flow into the aspect in terms of what these guys measured, this report.
Mm-hmm.
So this report went and looked at, okay, what's happening to conventional media, mediums? And what are you finding on conventional versus the new, I won't use them as many more as disruptions, but the digital platforms now, because now you've got that multimedia, sort of like, blend taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the young people, apparently, according to the report, I say apparently, love the podcasting, digital, social media updates. They access that quicker, faster. But obviously, remember, this is based upon, do you have electronic devices? Because I'll tell you today, Hamoud, this piece of paper with this live read ad on it is still the singular most dependable, cost-free, well, not cost-free, actually. You know, the paper needs to be made and the ink needs to be produced and the printer for the ink.
Yeah.
And it's also to be produced. But if you look at it in its essence, it's the most energy efficient technology that still exists to convey information.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Not energy. Well, no, it is energy efficient because you don't print the same paper every day for the same task.
Mm.
This paper has been here for this whole month with us. It'll end on Monday. No, on Friday. It'll still be with us. Why? You don't need to switch a light on with this thing. You don't need to plug this paper in. And you realize that this thing has a longer shelf life. Yes, the internet also has a long shelf life. Even though there's the...
internet never forgets.
Yeah, even there, there's the Wayback Machine that archives every single website page, every creator. It doesn't matter if that website doesn't exist anymore or the organization doesn't exist anymore. The internet does not forget. Remember this, guys. They don't forget. So, internet penetration or internet connectivity penetration plays a key role. Obviously, in the African context, these guys cited in their methodology, it's the opposite, that the 2,000 people in each of Kenya, and South Africa, Nigeria, and there's another country, you should not conflate that those 2,000, the sample of 2,000 people,
yeah,
that they interviewed, do not expand it into the rest of South Africa or Kenya or Nigeria and think, oh, so many people have internet out of their respective population groups.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the disclaimer in that scenario is literally, we know that these said particular countries on the African continent themselves have internet connectivity issues.
Yeah.
And that many people there, the people that they interviewed in their samples are technically the privileged of society, which is the minority.
So they went to conduct an interview in a suburb?
No, the survey was predominantly internet-based.
Online-based.
Online-based. So they had to look at which part of the demographic distribution are you from? How often do you have access to internet? And what particular mediums do you access? Now, that sets the scale for your question of where the political guys are, where the viewer is running to or the consumer mm-hmm. is running to
mm-hmm.
versus what is really impacting the consumer.
Yeah.
So, I was alerted back at the first half of this year, Helmut, about the danger towards us media practitioners of what politicians love to do. Especially when it comes into the years of campaigning for elections. So in the school of thought of political science, which is a field itself, and in many cases you would find it in universities, there's obviously at UNAM, and also in Southern Africa, literally they are designated chapters in the modules that these graduates are taught, or that these students are taught, that politicians need the media. They need us to communicate the message. Now, the downside is...
Because the goal is, the goal is reach. Yeah,
the goal is reach.
The goal is reach.
Many cases, it's for free. Many cases, it's even paid for. For example, we obviously have...
Because if if you want a dedicated one...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you obviously pay for the situation. Yeah. Like in our case, Eagle FM, many of our listeners would have know of in terms of, they would have heard that specific programming at the first half of this year. So when you look at scenarios like that, usually it's a scenario that we, the media, are supposed to be neutral. But the neutrality dimension comes into an aspect in terms of are you the media organization friendly towards said particular political entity or person? Or are you, keeping to a neutrality dimension that says, listen, if you're going to do the political discussion, speak about, the politics, the issues, or not the politics, the policies or the issues that you observe in a certain context. For example, when we had the debate last year. The political
presidential debate.
The presidential debate.
Yeah.
Where we hosted that, we live streamed it here through our radio. Yeah. And obviously many of the audience that obviously couldn't travel to Windhoek to in a very confined space, which was the National Theatre, couldn't attend. And it was obviously a free to access platform. And we obviously gave, we streamed that free to our listeners. There, we knew what we were doing, Elmer. Because literally we set the scene for the particular hopefuls, obviously.
Yeah.
The mainstream hopefuls in the Namibian political sphere to indicate, what they stand by, what they believe are the priority issues that need to be dealt with. But the priority issues were obviously also moderated by, by France in the particular discussion.
Yeah.
Is it France unhappy? Yes, yeah. By France unhappy. Now, I've observed a scenario in the UK and in the US, where you've got media entities that are literally aligned with political parties. Said particular media entities literally promote one candidate more than another. We've seen this. This has happened time and time again. This has happened in the UK. The accusations still persist, for example, in the UK and the US of Rupert Murdoch's particular involvement in shaping.
Consolidation, call it that.
No. Look. His business entities are economic activity.
Yeah.
But it's the moment that his business entities start shouting more and more and saying, no, Helmut is your next president. Helmut. And there's nothing wrong with Helmut, but then.
This one is.
And then the opposite end, Dwight is the worst candidate you can ever think of. Yeah, and this is enough, and that's literally what has happened. Helmut, they are still doing analysis on YouTube specifically of why did Kamala Harris lose the whole men, specifically millennial men, men in my age group and in your age group.
Yeah,
why she lost millennial men. Now many of the men literally just said, okay, you know what? We don't stand. We don't believe in the policy that you're pushing. And they literally walked across the aisle and they all just gave their votes for free to Donald Trump. And that's even though Elon Musk, who owns a social media company, X, literally donated $100 million to the campaign of Donald Trump. The crux of the matter was that Kamala Harris literally lost a large part of the male population of the United States and the working class, obviously, of the United States. And what were they shown? They were obviously given, what the policies were to be communicated. And then people just went and made up their minds, critical thinking was being applied, and like, what? Must I stand for these kinds of policies? They're not speaking about job security, future security, social welfare programs, the well-being of overall societies in the various towns in my country. Stuff, no, they didn't. And then they literally went and voted for the guy that literally resonated with their thinking. Donald Trump, which is now obviously, people are now realizing he's actually doing the opposite.
So that's the difference between what you are able to say and what you are able to fulfill.
True.
So last year, about a year or two ago, I decided to read, basically do my own reading on what happened in Rwanda back in 1994. Mm. And it was for the first time I found out, you know, for the first time I learned that before, you know, in 1993, a media platform, specifically a radio station, was, was parroting ideas that led up to the growing sentiments that literally led up to a genocide. That's when I took steps back and basically realized how dangerous the media is. So in other words, when you push a narrative, sometimes they have a tendency of going south in a very bad way.
Yeah.
Because, the government of the time in Rwanda, they tolerated that.
Well, they perceived it. Not that I did read anything deep into it.
Yeah.
But you could see from when you and I did the, you know, what is the true issue going on in Eastern DRC.
Yeah, the fact that it says all this time. Yeah.
And then when you and I went a little bit deeper into, you know, what was uncovered was that many of the people at the time thought, ah, you know what, no one will act on it until the death of the president.
That's when they were like, uh-oh.
Which was literally then the code words, the dog whistling, and the secret, secretive instructions started flowing through.
It wasn't until the plane crash that took the life of
until the plane was shot down.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the plane was shot down?
Shot down, yeah.
Yeah. Then it obviously went haywire from there.
Oof. All the seeds that were sown by that, by that specific, just one radio station. And then, now you have to understand there are a lot of, I think that's one thing that's also, somewhat a little difficult to grasp because, every Monday to Friday and also during the weekends, you and I sit here and where it's just the two of us and we're just, talking about these things. At least for me, very difficult to comprehend is just how many people are listening at a time.
Yeah.
So that means every single word that comes out of your mouth, can have either a very, can have either no consequence at all or a very positive impact on someone or some dozen or a very negative impact on someone or some dozen. So now when you look at it from that angle, then that's when you begin to understand, you begin to understand the point you made earlier that, politics need the media. Mm. Now, I think, that's actually a very, important point to make because in every country that have seen the rise of a dictator, first thing they take over is the media.
Of course.
That's the first thing they take over.
Of course.
You have the military. Right after the military, the media is up next.
I mean, we even saw it now between Israel and Iran, the bombing salvos.
Yeah.
What was one of the designated targets that Israel wanted to hit? TV and media stations and their buildings. That was what Israel was hitting. Israel even bombed the the ongoing Gaza conflict, the building that the international media were contained in.
Oh yeah, I think that's one of the recent events that I've never heard that before. Though the Israeli Ministry of Defense came and say, "Well, we regret for all that. We respect journalists." I was like, "Yeah."
This was a building that was literally like everyone knew the whole building contained various media entities. Obviously, now I've also looked at a little bit differently in terms of the dumb things that Hamas is committing. I have to be honest, Hamoud.
Yeah.
Hamoud, The tunnels exist, bruh, underneath hospitals, UN buildings. So obviously this does make it look bad. If you look at the whole propaganda game, this does look bad for the UN, because the UN doesn't know that the local Palestinian guys there in Gaza are in many cases working in cahoots with the Hamas guys.
Now, at this point, the question you can also ask is, do they really have a choice?
It's up to... Hell, Helmut, hell, yeah. Life is about choices, bruh.
No, I'm asking that question because, yeah. because it always takes me to the debates that I have gotten into with my friends with regards to a lot of car brands coming out of Germany.
Yeah.
A lot of a lot of people have pointed to me that, that car before it was, it became, they switched to making cars. They used to make bombs. Yeah. I always say, that's how I look at it. I always go back to look at the guy who was in charge. Put yourself in charge of, take for example, Volkswagen, BMW, Audi, and only this. And he approached you with a very giant package and told you that this is the money we have. From now on, stop making cars. We want bombs.
Yeah. Or start making a specific part because we've got this thing. This tank that we want.
You can't give that guy an excuse.
That guy,
you're gonna have to start making what he wants you to make. I feel like when you're dealing with a very small and confined space like Gaza Strip, whatever armed militia in that area wants you to do, you're gonna have to do it if you're gonna live to see the next
day. And remember, the other civilians voted that same armed militia in a democratic process of an election to be the governing force in that territory.
Democracy.
I think this is where you now find where that this is where I've concluded that mainstream media is the reason why people are going to social media for news.
No, definitely. You are right.
And you know what? Mainstream media was served a very excellent purpose of informing people, because growing up, you and I know that every time that our parents wanted to get authentic information of what's going on either in the country or globally, they would turn on the radio because they knew that what's going on here. They looked up to radios and TV station newspapers as the legitimate sources of where you could get information of what's going on around you. But now we've gotten to the point where you have now this political division that's cascading, and then also you have the same division in the media where the best example of this is of course because of its widespread and reach, that would be the US. I know that if I want to watch positive news about how excellent Donald Trump is and they're all sinless and all that, I'll just turn on Fox News. If you want to see all the evils of Donald Trump, turn on CNN. Now, if you want to see all the evil of Joe Biden, watch Fox News. If you want to see all the excellent works of Joe Biden, watch CNN. Now, you have all this division of there's one media house that's then dedicated to pushing. It sucks the impartiality out of media reporting. And now you're looking at people going like, what do you mean he's perfect? He has this and this and this at this record. Take, as you can imagine for Donald Trump, for example. Proponents of everything positive about Donald Trump will have a hard time defending why he ran on publicizing the Epstein list and then won election partially because of that, and then turn around and say there is no list. Now, at this point, even the people that voted for him were like, yeah, there is no way you are going to convince people that he didn't say that. For one, it's all over the internet.
It's not just that, Helmut. Because remember, you're still on conventional.
Yeah.
TV is still conventional, or radio is still conventional. Yeah. The nice spread that they do here, but they use predominantly the US market in this scenario. And this is just the executive summary, that first part of the report. Have you ever watched the conversation that Joe Rogan had with Donald Trump before the elections last year?
I don't believe I have.
It's probably the most irritating conversation or podcast you will ever see in your life, Helmut. Firstly, Joe Rogan would ask a question. And as Trump does in pure Trump fashion, Trump, he doesn't finish a sentence.
Yeah.
So things keep, you know, it keeps doing this. And your ears, you are literally now listening or fixating on, are you going to say something sensible to me? Donald Trump is not as bad as Kamala Harris, because if you've ever seen what Kamala Harris is based known for, giving you a what is that thing that that word that comes out of the U.S. A verbal what is it? A mouth of polonium.
This is not where we have been, but where we are and where we will be when we get there.
Yeah, she speaks like that.
Type of nonsense.
Yeah. Now, in many cases, people targeted that way that she speaks, because in many cases, when she was sent as the vice president of the U.S., many people were going like, what is she saying? But nonetheless, this is the politician for the Americans. The downside has been, you have a Namibian sitting in Namibia watching a Joe Rogan podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Even a Tucker Carlson episode now, because Tucker Carlson has now significant reaches himself as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a whole bunch of other podcasters popping up, which has been one of the reasons as to why Donald Trump has told his press secretary, invite the podcasters and the YouTubers as part of the press. Not just the, it's a good idea because, you know, everyone, Hamoud, you are entitled to an opinion as long as it's obviously well informed. Like what you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
We go and read a thing because we don't want to show up here and literally cost, you know, Eagle FM a whole bunch of court case issues because we just mispronounced one thing.
Mm-hmm.
We sit literally with the work here. We cite the work and we interrogate, you know, based upon what's happening here, critical thinking and application versus what has someone seen of a similar scenario. So you look for precedents in many cases.
Yeah.
Many of the podcasters, I kid you not, I sometimes wonder, what are you doing? Many of the podcasters. It's one of the reasons why if you've ever looked at the Diary of a CEO guy,
mm-hmm.
where he obviously just speaks to decision makers in the corporate world, you know, and let's call it like inspirational persons.
Yeah.
I would actually speak more to a civic society organization, the leader or a participant of it, you know, someone in that scenario, not to a CEO, because the CEO is a chief clerk of clerks. The CEO's salary alone probably is the biggest liability to the organization. Not the whole of the salaries of the, just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. There was a CEO that the South African or Shoprite International had. That his name was Whitey Roo. I'm just, you know, speaking out of correction in terms of the man's name. Before COVID, he had once a bonus payout of R1 billion. He had been in charge since the '80s when he took over the group.
Yeah.
As a CEO, up until here in the 20-teens, the man had R1 billion performance bonus. R1 billion for a CEO. R1 billion, Hamoud. Now, I'm telling you, the man had been in charge of the group
since the 80s
into the 20-teens. They've obviously had a different guy that came in after him, a way younger man. That picture, that span, are you telling me that potentially that gentleman did not make already R1 billion for the time frame that he has been chief executive of said particular organization? And remember, the organization was started by someone else. So there's a shareholder that has been paid their shares, their dividends for performance of what, you know, this gentleman, the CEO, and the people are doing on the ground. Are you really telling me? He did not become a billionaire already from just being a CEO.
since the 80s.
Since the 80s. Are you really telling me he's not already a billionaire in South Africa?
Oh, he must be.
He must be.
It's either that or he's terrible at financial management.
Now, just setting the scene for you there.
Yeah.
Now, imagine how much performance did the organization have to do for their chief executive to make a billion in a performance bonus. Not a billion in his salary, a billion performance bonus. How well did the organization have to perform for him to get there? Remember, a salary,
really well.
A salary, a performance bonus, a 13th check, whatever, even medical aid or insurances, all those things are liabilities to the organization.
Yeah.
So even his salary is a liability. Even his performance bonus is a liability to the business because it's money going out. So how much money did they have to make?
Short answer, must be a lot.
A ton.
Uh-huh.
A super ton.
Really?
A super ton.
If you're going to give someone $1 billion thanks.
No, $1 billion. Yes, this financial year was none, eh? Here you go. There you go. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. A lot of money. That means the company had to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
People on the ground had to really push for those targets to be met.
Yeah.
So, obviously now moving away from that, particular discussion, eh? Ask yourself the particular question in terms of when you've got to look at things that really matter on the ground. Like what you and I have been talking about, what we've been talking about here at Eagle FM specifically, which has been about developmental issues, economic issues, well, developmental and economic and economically developmental combined together, and then societal and economical in many cases. Just citing back to our talk yesterday of the TCAD, why the Japanese began with the economy. Because the Japanese realized you sort the economy out, everyone will be happy.
Yeah.
You'll be able to give people will be able to buy food, Helmut, in their currency for close to nothing. Remember when I told you the Japanese literally have a vacuum packed smoked chicken quarter that you can buy off the shelf in a 7-Eleven. Out of a vending machine even.
Man, it must be cool.
Out of a vending machine, you can buy a smoked chicken quarter. Now, how did your economy get to such a level that food is widely accessible to so many people across the economy? Helmut, you will not hear that anyone in Japan suffers from malnutrition. Our president even reiterated it today. Namibia, we are too few Namibians to be poor. So, ask yourself that particular question. How did that country get to such a level? Because they went and realized, you know what? Let's put our destiny in our own hands. Let's take charge of our own destiny.
Yeah.
When you look at the media consumption side of things, Namibia is obviously exposed to many internet developments that are happening.
Yeah.
And noise being made across the world. Cascading that particular discussion in between fluctuating between a macro level and a micro level, you know, continuously. Micro being Namibia, macro being global. Now I ask you the question in terms of like what we started off with, you know, looking at potential political leaders in the world. You then go ask yourself another particular scenario. Okay, so what does Helmut read and what does Dwight read? How do we consume? They realized in the American context, a lot more people above the age of 35 are still following TV and physical, you know, newspaper platforms.
Yeah.
In terms of their daily, you know, daily information sustenance. But when it comes to the under 35s, the issue becomes murky because they are the ones that are turning to the influencers and turning to the podcasts. Now, this is where I stop once again on the podcasts.
One of the most viral video on TikTok right now is of one lady who was she was a guest at someone's podcast who embarrassed the whole podcast world. Her advice was that
if you name the podcast, I might know which one.
They didn't pay me to do that. Now the point he made was, don't love your job. Job your love. And homeboy, a guy who's a host, goes like, I love it. And I'm going, huh? Now, as you can imagine, social media, oh, that lady went, you know, turned into a meme really fast.
Mm.
Even now, that thing is all over TikTok. Now, because the question, now, of course, you have, you know, comedians like me that are just making fun of it. And there are those that are just asking a genuine question. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm completely blonde right now. What does it mean?
I have no idea. And from the look of things, I don't think she does either. Don't love your job, job your love. Someone on one of the videos, someone wrote a very nice comment that, can we just develop a license for buying microphones, because it's becoming a little too much.
Mm.
Yeah. Can we just put in some laws that will, you know,
prevent some people
from buying microphones.
No, from being far away from microphones.
Yeah, as far as possible.
Yeah.
Because this is just, this is just somewhere else. Now, when you look at it from mainstream media, you understand that, most of the unbiased in reporting with regards to different entities or different organizations, is more motivated by, has monetary motivations to it.
Mm.
Now, because of that, you are seeing the exact same thing with influencers.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, an influencer is basically someone who is begging for sponsors, and they are most likely going to parrot the idea of their sponsors, irrespective of just how ridiculous that idea sounds. Now, when you look at it from that, you begin to understand why, you begin to understand that the same flaw that chased people from the now very apparent biased reporting coming out of the most part of the mainstream media. So, and then they thought that maybe the right space of finding some legitimate news is coming out of social media. And then AI kicks in.
Oh yeah, I'm not yet on the AI thing.
AI kicks in.
Yeah.
And then you have, influencers also kicking in. Now, the thing is, when it comes to social media, if social media news consumption, people more often look for a blue tick. If there's a blue tick, chances are very high, this guy is telling the truth.
Yeah.
But nothing can be further from the truth. He could be lying through his teeth.
Which he or she could be doing, yes. Yep. I mean,
now that raises up a very giant dilemma of, if everyone is just all screwed up with their, you know, if everyone is more siding with their interest than they are with their profession and, and their oath of just disseminating information and not picking a side.
Mm.
If, you know, that's the, you know, you have that flaw in mainstream media, and you have the same flaw that is quickly emerging out of social media, more like podcast reporting. Now, the question anyone cannot just stop asking themselves is, where am I going to get the right news? And it's the same thing you see in nutritional advice. Someone is making a video of don't eat meat. And then someone is like, drink water without this chemical. And then someone
don't cut the meat this way, but rather eat it with potatoes in that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
And then someone else is telling you, no, if you eat it with too much potatoes and too few meat, you will be sitting with some form of cancer.
Don't drink water. I'm like, what?
This is why I don't drink tap water in the US and I'm sitting in Namibia. Or this is why I don't touch, this is why I only buy organic food in Namibia, not in the US. Helmut, do you know what's the worst part?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. What is the worst fallacy I've seen?
Yeah.
When it comes to the supply of meat, you can get meat cheaper than I can get meat.
In what way?
You obviously have access to meat back home, Helmut.
They're
in the Wunderland.
Yeah,
you have access.
All I just have to do is show up at home.
Yeah, and just
and
you know,
pretend to be sick, and the chicken is gone.
You know, you've and that's a cheaper format. The only thing that would have cost you is your bus ticket all the way there.
And also the fact that those chickens are fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have to go to a retailer, pay for plastic packaging I did not ask for.
Wait, that's the only chicken you can access?
Here in Windhoek, yes.
Here in Windhoek, that's unfortunately the case.
Yeah, here in Windhoek.
I like honey. No, I have to buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can access it the same way I access the chicken.
You know, with the public hazard, you know, of some flying bees, you know, and obviously the annoyance that you showed up.
Protein, right?
That you showed up. Yeah, but it's taking more energy from you were hungry. Now you have to burn more energy.
And also with bees, you go in the bush as a black guy, come back Asian. But well, it's worth it.
You know how much misinformation you and I are sharing now.
I know.
So when you're looking at the particular scenario of in that case of how to access if we can call it free range, because organic technically is free range.
Yeah.
You can just find or spend that little bit more time finding certain particular distribution points, meaning suppliers that can give you the thing. And then you would have spent a fraction less than going to a retailer. Because at least with that particular aspect of frying, of finding free range or organic meat in Namibia or in Windhoek for that matter, in many cases, you would have to live close to certain particular outlets to access it. You get to a discussion, Helmut, where the digital platforms are obviously playing a major role. The traditional or conventional media platforms obviously enjoy it when there are election years.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that means that that five-year period between one election and another election popping up, they've really got to hope that Donald Trump is either doing something or that their local political leaders are trying to be just as publicity, you know, hungry like Donald Trump. Meaning you've got to literally, we now literally have to see our president going to various international platforms and even engaging with so many particular international leaders and even, you know, having a speech that is literally on the level of inciting some sort of a reaction, you know. You know, to package it up that much more,
violent.
Not that way. I'm forgetting the true communication lingo here now. You know, to make it, to have that appeal. And then you realize when you go and listen.
That time used eye catchy.
Yeah, eye catchy. And when you listen to the clip, it's like, you know, the president is probably just saying, you know, all I want for Namibians is that we just need to achieve a level of this industrialization, this level of industrialization. Then it's as mundane as any other particular speech that she has given, you know, just stating what we want and obviously what we wish to seek out of this particular level or engagement or bilateral relationship. And voila, there it goes. Do you know how many times have you seen the video on that's on YouTube? The false one. That shows President Nandi Ndaitwa's face. And then the thumbnail says, Namibia kicks out so many Americans out of its country. You've seen that video?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, you'll find that video. Somewhere here in the far reaches of our continent known as Africa, there's a whole bunch of Kenyans or Nigerians that just love propaganda. Oh, they love it. Even the South African guys, they love it.
This is something I've discovered, you know, in the world of content creation, which is actually very dangerous.
Yeah.
Which is why I think, mainstream media should really, really, really iron out their flaws, because the future of media is just cooked. Now, here's the thing. Look at this. The world of content creation works like this.
Mm.
What you want to do is you want to put out something that is either controversial or absurdly false to trigger as much reaction as possible.
But it's controversial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the more, you know, if you put up a video like that.
They are worse than a politician. Do you know that?
Oh no, they are worse. Because if you put up a video like that, a lot of Namibians will jump to the conclusion of where the heck did he even hear that? Because I am in Namibia and the president did not say that.
Yeah.
That was exactly what the creator of that video wanted. Because the more people are engaging, the more viral the video goes, the more views they have, the more reach they have. Because again, we are back to the political, you know, one thing that, you know, one thing that the content creation world and politics have in common.
Yeah.
Reach. So, so a lot of people then are just doing it intentionally to put on social media something that is either very controversial, one, or, oh dear Lord.
This is what the videos look like. And there are multiples of them.
Yeah.
Multiples of them.
At this point, it's safe to say that the social, or more like, the algorithm when it comes to podcast is like, it's designed to reward false information.
Mm.
And, well, guess what? Because there's a reward, a lot of people are heading in that direction.
Now, here's the thing, Almut. There's another report that I didn't send to you, but it factors into this discussion we've got.
Yeah.
It is a 2024 report, or actually at the start of this year, 2025, but it was based on 2024 analysis. The report was titled, What Do People Want? I found it on LinkedIn, just like this Reuters Foundation report as well. But that other particular report, was one that gave insights in terms of what do people actually want in the modern sense of consumption of media.
Yeah.
Do you know what's at the heart of the podcaster AI information dissemination platform and the influencer? At the heart of it is that the viewer, the consumer of the information,
yeah,
wants to interact.
Yeah.
They want to interact with the platform. So, like we do here when we interact, when we field calls, that's obviously, you know, when our listeners are brave enough.
When we have a competition, they are very brave. But sorry, I had to rub that one in with salt.
But nonetheless, the few brave hearts, you know, yeah, and few brave warriors, because it seems like we all are brave warriors.
Yeah.
Even when we can give the wrong responses, you know, to competitions. But yeah, at the heart of that is that literally people now want to interact. So if you see your favorite influencer, Hamoud, is walking around somewhere there in Comestal, and showcasing the, you know, the property that you are living in there in Comestal, but the person is just walking past you on their phone, you know, with that selfie stick, and then just, you know, talking to their followers there on TikTok or on social media. Now you run out of there and you go, hey, I'm Dwight. Look at me. I'm here in the background. Please come look at my house. Now you do all that, giving that guy free exposure and yourself some free exposure.
Yeah.
And then in a sense, you know, you create some spontaneity element is created for that influencer's particular feed. What I've seen so far on the established internet platforms like YouTube and the paid for streaming platforms like Twitch and Kick, even on Rumble, I think Rumble is similar to YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a video hosting platform. Is that in many cases, when there's live streaming, there's a chat, there's a moving chat scenario, just like what we sometimes do when we stream,
you know, when we stream. Comments.
Yeah. When we stream the, you know, the court cases or not the court cases, you know, the legal proceedings happening, obviously, in the major engagements that are taking place currently in Namibia, which is Fishrod and obviously the NAMCOR scenario. There's obviously like a chat function there, depending on the platform. That chat function there is hilarious. It's hilarious. How many times have you spoken about that chat function, Hamid? How Namibians are literally...
like a gazillion times. Like a...
And you know what Namibians...
People can be mean in the comments.
And you know where that stems from? Have you ever watched a TV with your mom or your dad or with someone else and you're a kid and they are there talking in between and they're even making the special effect sounds like, hey, go here, shoot him, beat him. And
then
he's coming, and they're even doing the actions, you know, trying to give instructions.
Uh-huh.
I always used to tell the people, if someone does that with me in the TV lounge, I'm like, you are in Namibia. Remember, that thing is 9,000 kilometers away from you. They will not hear you.
They are, you know, there are a few tates in my region that I don't want to sit in front of when their team is losing.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they're literally going to kick you if you are watching a match.
Mm.
Because the movement of their legs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Make it look like
they believe they were a striker
and
on the
and let's just be honest here. If you are that good at soccer to the point where you are giving Lionel Messi football ideas,
from Rundu.
Why are you broke? Like, look. Hey,
why are you broke?
I'm so getting in trouble for that comment.
Oh, are you broke?
Look, it's entertaining. I get it. It's a, you know, it's a form of entertainment, and it's a very, it's good for your mental health, social, and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now the thing is, coming back to information, I feel like, misinformation is only going to increase as more and more people move lose trust in social media,
yeah,
and try to sort of like get updates from podcasts and other platforms like commercial.
ShopRite ota chapora umvaro milongo ndatu na tano donda ndodili pevi ka kunawe ota to chapora no kuhubisa mwambika okay jine vinti mbuya rumba kanu fayo real good kethere omilongo hitatu no hoi no sendo milongo hoi no hoi o harmo materiali do Nescafe classic cremacha nenge o harmo materiali no milongo ndatu do Nescafe hayu di thururwa koto na ethere no milongo ndatu nane no sendo milongo hoi no hoi ziriko sigo gajeri gaso petemba nuvo ino shererewa ShopRite no ndodili pevi ito vuro Inekira aruhi, I morina wo opito yo kusindana, I kujako ShopRite. Landa, kishipwe tashukusa ombinga, konga ono morayo wina apoka slepa koi. Ituma kwatsapa, pamwe ongo ye omsindani, opena wo yirwe, ta isindan ma eskukehe. Oko, ShopRite, akuke.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Welcome back to Home Run. This is Eagle FM. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are tuned in from. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
Velvici University, where new short courses are available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Science. Program is Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements are Grade 12 Senior Certificate or AN Equivalent. NQF level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in the 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English. Or a grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English plus 2 years relevant industry experience that will be required. The course cost is 5,500 Namibian dollars. Application period is from 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462 or email admission@wu.edu.na. Velvici University, where everyone is an achiever.
And we continue.
We continue indeed.
Yeah. The misinformation is only going to go, is going to run rampant as people lose faith in mainstream media.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons behind this is very simple. Again, if you look at the way that a lot of reporting is done, when a country that is not in line in terms of political ideology or something is engaged in a military conflict, that military conflict is called out for what it is. Mm. Genocide, atrocities, violation of a sovereign nation's borders and all that.
Mm.
But when it's something that's done by a country that's sort of like, shares a similar type of political ideology with one or two media houses, they start using, that's where, come back to the 12 day war between Iran and Israel.
Mm.
Yeah, that's where you saw that, when Israel launched the first bombs. What was that labeled as? preemptive strike. And then Iran decided to launch their to retaliate, to launch their own bombs.
Mm.
Brutal attack. I was like, huh?
Oh no, it's absolutely wonderful when it comes to the information wars.
Yeah, information warfare. Thank you. That is, that's the right term about it.
Yeah.
Because, one thing is that, every time countries are at war, the only war that we classify as war and more like look at it as this is the war that's going on is the war of bombs and guns. But in actual reality, wars take place on different fronts.
Mm.
And the biggest one that a lot of people don't pay attention to is the information warfare, because that one is even more terrible. And then now we have cyber warfare. Cyber warfares are constantly taking place.
While you and I are sitting
while you and I are sitting here.
Yeah.
Now, we only read about things. We only read about news of. Take for example. Maybe Ukrainians. Have struck deep within Russian territories, or Russian have bombed a facility in Ukraine, Israel bombed Iran, Iran bombed Israel, all those things. But the information warfare going on, more like the cyber warfare, is just as heavy.
Mm.
It's just that reporting in that world, because it's not a physical world you can go and stand in and report as you would in a war zone.
Mm.
Therefore,
you have to rely on.
You have to rely on.
Reports,
exactly,
leaked reports or leaked particular correspondence speaking to something, for example, like what Snowden and Assange did. You know, they went and technically they both went. The one went and leaked something. The other one went and took something and then posted it online.
Because WikiLeaks guys got it from what they claim to be anonymous sources. Julian Assange himself is one of those computer enthusiasts and very brilliant guy when it comes to computer.
Mm.
So they basically build this infrastructure, at least according to them, that would allow anyone that's within anyone from basically anywhere to submit sources of any information that they wanted the WikiLeaks to cover.
Yeah.
As long as it can be verified by the team before they put it up, which is why we ended up, featured it also on the WikiLeaks. But, that file is a very interesting one. But the point you have here is one of, the physical war that's fought is very easy to report on, because you can have very brave journalists.
And you can see people are shooting each other.
You can see bombs being destroyed. Yeah.
You know, you're running around, with your helmet on.
Your camera. See,
your cameraman is asking you, what bad karma did he inherit to be here with you?
Mm-hmm.
While the bullets are flying.
That's a terrible question.
You sometimes get colleagues like that. Yo, what did I do in my previous life to be here? Like that.
Reminds me of Julia. But anyway. Just in case she's listening and she waits for me in town. I don't want to have that kind of a run in with it.
Yeah.
According to this report, verification practices differ from age and income. Now that part, I have to say, I found it a little interesting.
It's aligned with the consumption trend that the age groups have. For example, you will find, your dad sticks to a print medium.
Yeah.
Or a radio station. He wouldn't trust, looking at a social media account or anything digitally, even though he has a smartphone.
Yeah.
Then you, being on the go, you'd balance both. You try to throw your net as wide as possible. Then your son would be just purely digital. And when I say purely digital, they'd be looking at social media posts.
Yeah.
They'd read the threads. the, you know, the commentary threads below those social media posts.
So basically, even if I want to follow, I want to get news from a legitimate,
platform.
Platform.
Yeah.
I'll look for them on social media because most of them, last I checked, they all have social media accounts.
Yeah. Now the downside is, and, many people don't realize this, is that social media is part of the internet.
Yeah.
If anyone understands the explanation that Yanis Varoufakis has always given regarding tech feudalism, is that Mark Zuckerberg went and took a free thing. And he literally, it's like communal land, understanding communal land. What happens in communal land, you know, the disputes. It's someone showing up to communal land, which is meant for everyone, and then camps off. He didn't pay anyone. He didn't buy it. He didn't convince. The only people he convinced was the shareholders to say, listen, put money in me so that we develop this camped off area of the internet. And anyone coming into that camped off area will see what I want them to see, will interact with what I want them to interact. So it's literally like going to let's say in an exhibition in a museum. And the museum is standing next to a public road. You'll show the people what you want them to see. They'll interact with what they want, that you want them to interact with. And that's it. And that's literally what Yanis explained. This is what tech feudalism is all about. Now, many of the people believe that the internet is based upon apps. No, it's not. The internet is not based upon apps or based upon the latest smartphone that you have. The smartphone is just a conduit for you to access the internet. The internet is literally an ocean and you interact with, but I think like 10% of the internet in many cases.
Yeah.
That is the shame. I don't even want to tell you guys how creepy YouTube can get. Just, you know, just 5 videos in. You know, if you follow a thread of videos, on a certain subject, just 5 videos in, then you start finding the creepy side of YouTube. Just to show you a little bit. So when people have to look at information dissemination, how they access things, the concern obviously has been the generational spread, what you grew up with, firstly. What is shown in this report, as they're saying that conventional media, specifically TV, print, and what's the third one's name? And news websites struggle to stay relevant with ever-changing consumption trends coming through from younger audiences and so on.
Because the target audience keeps shifting in terms of where they get their information.
Or the target audience goes through an app, which is a Facebook, an Instagram, a X, and a YouTube, rather than go and search
directly to their website.
Rather than searching on the website, let me go here. Or buying a TV, buying a pay-per-view decoder, and then paying every month that rental amount, you save the money, because why must I buy a TV if I've got this mini supercomputer in my hand?
There's no point.
There's no point. You'd only spend money on your internet because then you realize the internet gives me so much more than
what I would have on TV plus.
Exactly. I mean, I can give you all my illegal websites, Helmut, for watching movies for free.
Yeah, you
movies
sound,
and series.
Yeah, you sound like one guy that did an American guy that did his own analysis on why they seem to be the rise in movie pirating. Something that declined rapidly when platforms like Netflix started coming out, and Hulu and others.
It won't be long until Netflix will have a price increase again,
Oh, they have. And now they are throwing in ads and they have different packages. One with terrible pixels and other one, of course, that will cost you higher. And also a lot of pixels. Now, because a lot of these different platforms, first of all, their prices are going through the roof. Yeah. That's one. The second one is that, some of them are introducing in ads. And the third, and actually, I think the most factor that is pushing away the large part of the audience from all these streaming platforms is, is one of, you have two TV shows that you like. One is on this platform and the other is on a different platform. Now you have to pay for two platforms to watch if you want to watch both of them. Why can't you just have both of them on one? And even if you have them on this platform, you have to, you have to, you have to watch it within a, within a period of time.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be there permanently. In a month or two, it could be gone. So, a lot of people now, because of this, and plus, as you can imagine, even more reasons, you have a lot of people that, that are now going, going back to pirating because, you know what? Pirate Bay, that movie that you have wanted to watch since, 10 years ago is always going to be there.
On its own platform.
And you have, and you have, I have, because I like to watch, I watch a lot of cartoons. Don't judge. And it's, how long is this going to take? That's a King Julian, and you have, look, when our president was in, Madagascar, I expected him to bring us a picture of Maurice and King Julian. I expected her to bring a picture of Maurice and King Julian on the other side being welcomed to Madagascar.
Do you know that that's in the south of Madagascar? That's not even close to
the capital.
Bottom
line is, he's the king.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And who's then always putting his kingdom in trouble. But the thing is, there are a lot of pirating platforms over there. Like, a lot.
No, they are. I mean,
The point he made was that, look, if paying for these streaming platforms is in owning, then pirating is in stealing.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's an interesting point to make.
It is an interesting point to make, Helmut, because the downside obviously has been, if you look at the conventional media, outlets that exist, the first one obviously was word of mouth. Medieval periods and ancient periods, it was only the elite classes in society that could read and write.
Yeah.
So back then, in order to share information made or decisions made by the ruling classes, you needed to appoint a guy that would go stand in a corner on a soapbox and shouting or reading what was decided. Now they used to call those guys, Heralds. They used to call them heralds.
So in other words, they were operating on trust me, bro.
And I hope you don't punch me today. Because imagine someone standing on a someone standing on a pavement here somewhere in Windhoek shouting, "Today's news comes from or comes from through." Let's, for example, take what happened in Katima in terms of the whole
Sankwazalization.
So yeah, Sankwazalization of the whole, Katima Katima Council there. Imagine now someone standing on a soapbox, someone on a street corner going like, Minister of Urban and Rural Development removes entire board through official government gazette. And everyone then stops their whole cars and everything going like, what? Repeat again? Now imagine you multiply that. And that's literally what happened at first.
How do you even verify that information like that? Because the homeboy would be lying to all of you.
Those guys, Helmut, used to be, they literally were like either royal officials or imperial officials. They were officials of the government.
Yeah.
You fast forward, obviously the printing press comes along with everyone cites Johann Gutenberg.
Technology has been putting people out of their jobs. So the guys who were shouting in the honor were replaced.
Replaced by, mass producing the message, And then you are teaching people to read and write.
Now imagine that transition of, transitioning from a guy who's shouting in the corner to now you can print this material.
You see, people are even using your joke right now on our WhatsApp group.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so.
You'll have to start paying for it.
Yeah. You were still saying Helmut before the Sankwazalization. Yeah. I feel sorry for Katima. Yeah, they were Sankwasalized.
And then Independence Day is held there. You can imagine, you know. High blood pressure medication is at a peak use in Zambezi. But now, the point is the transition from having a guy shouting in the corner is a way of information dissemination to now inventing a printing press, and now you can print out this a lot of information, but you now have a very big problem to deal with, and that's illiteracy.
Yeah, now you've got to train people
so yeah. that they can understand everything that you are printing, because that's when you can make money out of it, in a print media type of way.
Yeah. Then this flows.
The radio comes up.
No, we're not radio. We're not yet at radio.
Where are we?
We're still in the aspects in terms of now you've got to develop correspondence, because now people were taught how to read and write.
Yeah.
But now you live in Windhoek, Helmut, and your wife lives in Divundu. Now how are you going to talk to her? She can't hear you. She doesn't know what you're doing.
You write a letter. How is it going to get there?
How is it going to get there?
Oof.
And that's why they call it the Pony Express in some countries. For example, in Australia and in South Africa and in... I'm talking about before 1900, before the steam engine, before that guy invented the steam engine.
Oh, yeah.
So what would happen is that you would write a letter to someone, hand it to this person who would get on a horse, and they would just...
Oh, hence Pony Express.
180 kilometers per hour. No stops. Okay, there would be stops depending on the distance. They used to have little taverns next to the roads where your horse could rest, or you could swap out a horse and then you get on a new horse, a fresh horse. And then you ride further. So then that happens. And that's obviously what gave birth to the postal services around the world. The postal services are your communication platform.
So technology have even put horses out of work.
Technology is in a way, trying to put postal services out of work. You fast forward the guy with the steam engine, obviously, now he creates something new. But the steam engine comes before the telegram. Because they had to find a way of sending sound, and you can intercept a guy running around with a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I jumped another step.
Security flaws in
there. I actually jumped another step. There was the famous Greek runner, the guy that ran from Troy. Was it from Troy, one of the ancient Greek stories?
The one that gave us the Olympic Games?
No, the guy that ran himself to death, literally. To go and inform another allied city-state of...
they have won the war, I think.
No, they didn't win it, that they were under attack.
They were being informed that they were under attack?
Yeah, so he had to go and get allies, you know, allies to his city-state, to his king. And he had to run, literally, without stop, without resting.
That dedication to the crown is on a whole another level.
Delivered his message.
Never be me.
Delivered his message. Homeboy collapsed. Immediately died of exhaustion. That's according to that story in Greek mythology.
Welcome to Greek mythology.
Yeah, welcome to Greek mythology. The same thing also happened to Paul Revere. He rode his horse. Him and his horse both collapsed of exhaustion.
Okay, I can understand the horse. What was he exhausted from?
Have you ever sat on a horse?
No. I fell
that off a animal running here below you, bruh. You are also getting tired.
I fell off a horse at some, I fell off a donkey at some point. Then I did a lot of math about if this was this painful and it was from a donkey. I did a little bit of math factoring in height and speed. Then I got a little bit of, falling off a horse numbers. And I was like, yeah, nope, we're not doing
You know that donkeys and geese are the practical jokers of any farm.
Donkeys, all right?
Donkeys and geese.
Really? Why?
Because donkeys, for some reason, they always laugh at you when you don't want them to laugh at you.
Is that laughing or crying though?
No, they make that sound, and then they illustrate their buck teeth to you. And geese are just, you know, best security system, them and donkeys, but sometimes, you know, geese also love being bullies. But anyway, so you then go through the phases of technological development. The telegram comes along. The telegram leads to the telephone. The telephone then leads to the internet and all those things, because people realize now how to convert sounds and images into small data packets and then be able to transmit these things. And so things happen. And then that guy that I still follow, I don't know if I still bookmarked his website, the guy that founded the internet, Look, the internet was founded by the American government.
Yeah.
But the guy that literally created the World Wide Web, which is the platform.
WWW.
Yeah. On the internet. It's the thing that you use to access your computer is built on the internet. That guy, he was an Englishman, that man. A Brit or something. Yeah, he's a Brit. That guy, his policy, his overall ethos or his ideology is that no one should pay to gain access to the internet.
Oh boy, was he wrong.
Oh, he was greatly wrong. Oh, it actually led to the quickest commodification of the single most important development that was ever created in humanity. How to put a pay gate at the start or between your phone and a signal and a tower. And that thing just runs.
And also, if you look at it from, a service provision standpoint, it doesn't, it's unsustainable if you make it, a free, because whatever information that you are accessing, different websites, that information is gathered and compiled by people that need to get to their workplace and they need to eat. And they need to feed their families for them to keep doing it so you can keep accessing that information.
Yep.
So, which is why, every time someone tells me that, look, I'm like every broke person, I want things to be free. But when I look at it from a sustainability standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Then you realize you're actually causing someone else's bread. Or you are literally avoiding someone else from having enough money.
Yeah, if you access it for free, it's not going to be for very long because then, the people that are compiling the information are going to stop coming to work. Mm. And then that source that you rely on for that information, they are going to run out of information. Therefore, you'll run out of information to access.
Yeah. It's also the aspect in terms of when we look at this media consumption discussion, Amon, is also how do people actually procure the information they want. Now, many Namibians believe that because they have a smartphone, they actually believe that, it's actually cheaper for them to access everything digitally, which is actually a big lie. Because you can take that smartphone's initial cost because you own the thing most.
Yeah.
So you paying the 5,000, the 3,000, the 2,000 for that thing. And you factor in the $200 for this cover and the $200 for the screen protector and the electricity you pay at home to charge the thing and the data and the airtime you buy every time, every week for your Aware products on your phone. This product alone, is way more expensive.
Really expensive.
Than even tuning in here and listening to us on the radio. Or even buying a newspaper every day. It's way more expensive, Helmut. Just factor in possibly how much money you spent between January up to now just buying airtime for your two devices.
Okay, roughly $300 a month.
With me, it's $20 every week for my data package and my minutes for my phone. $20 a week. So that's basically $80. $80 until now, 6 months. So obviously that will put it close to $400, $500 so far. No? We're in month 8, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be close to $700, $800. No, 700, not 800, because it'll be 800 by October. So factor in a scenario like that. And if you took possibly, five Namibian dollars, once a day, or three times, or three Namibian dollars once a day, five days a week, 4 weeks in a month. Yeah, you'd also sit with a comparable cost. But at least the thing is, you didn't factor in the electricity you have to pay for.
I don't think we do factor that in a way that we should because, I'm just.
Because like I said at the start, you can lift this paper up now. This paper doesn't need to be plugged in to be recharged.
Yeah.
So too, a magazine and newspaper don't need that. The downside is the digital migration now dictates we need electricity in our lives everywhere, every day, at all times of the day. So yeah, obviously people would be, you know, listen now here, what data can I get for 20?
Good question.
Listen, people shouldn't be here. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, we've still got like a good 6 or 7 minutes left.
While we are in a conclusion phase, with regards to our time as we transition from a home run to a business and economic segment, on page 39 of that report, on page 39 of that report, you have verification practices differ by age and culture. The second the second paragraph goes like this: younger people aged between 18 to 34 often rely on the same sources as respondents 35 and over, but they are much more likely than older respondents to say they would rely on comments from other users, social media, and AI chatbots. So, I think verification, how you verify the sources that you get your news from, depends on what source you get your news from. If you get your news from print media, for example, if you want to verify just how legitimate something that is, you can call the media house if you want. You can pay them a visit if you want. You can leave them a question on any of their platform if you want. Now, if you are one of those people that get news from TikTok, for example, like Dylan's page, there's one guy, Australian, but I think he lives in the UK. One of those guys that like to keep up with current events. And he has built a very good audience out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now if that's where you get your information, then you will follow a different verification process. But I think it's safe to say that one verification process that is shared by all people, irrespective of where they get their news, is by looking at more than one source to see if they, you know, if the information pops up at the, you know, in different, you know, at different sources, then you know that it's most likely to be true. But if it's just found on one source, then you are most likely to take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah. The downside here is, Hamoud, you know, getting further into this particular report has also showcased with certain particular policies that some of the social media companies have brought out. For example, the one where Zuckerberg at the start of this year announced that he will do away, or Meta will do away with moderation, community moderation. Sort of like that fact checking. Not that he will do away with community moderation. He will now leave fact checking and moderation, up to community.
Like community guidelines or something?
Yeah. For example, like what happens on X.
Yeah.
If you post there something, you make up a meme and you post put in a misleading statement in the meme, then someone else puts there a point of correction or something to correct your meme. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, because in many cases, you obviously know that there's someone in control of the algorithm.
Yeah.
And you thinking now that you're interacting with the space, hey, this thing is completely liberal. Things, you know, democracy is working lovely in terms of freedom of expression. Just to realize that it's limited expression in many cases.
Really?
Really limited. The other aspects were obviously also things, for example, in terms of, what was happening in terms of the reach between conventional platforms and personalities or influencers. Personalities and influencers use the social media site for what it is for, you know, garnering a large social following. Whereas the news platform, which is a TV station or a radio station or a print platform or a online news website platform, now as a social media platform, and then they rely on, you know, followers to also amplify the work that they particularly do, trying to obviously channel visitors or visits or readers or audience members through to content that they produce. So now you've got to play this multimedia role, whereas an influencer and a personality like Joe Rogan just goes, sits down with a mic and then decides to smoke a, you know, some contraband stuff or a cigar, a Cuban cigar, you know, in his podcast. Or he drinks beer with the guest that he has with him. Now, obviously, if you've ever seen a Joe Rogan podcast, he's pretty laid back.
Yeah.
He is super laid back. The laid backness comes through from the formats that specifically Spotify paid him almost the $25 million to migrate from YouTube to Spotify. And on YouTube, he was making the Google AdSense. He was making money from the Google AdSense.
Yeah.
So he knew he was making money either way, if he continued staying on YouTube or if he went to Spotify. Now imagine if it's now you and me, Helmut. Yeah, Namibia is not monetized. So first and foremost, what are you doing? The market is too small. If we then go and try and do market research about would there be people listening to any podcasters in Namibia, and you find out that literally, you know, up to 30-40% of Namibians have actual disposable income to buy an internet product that is on 24/7.
Now,
for them to be connected 24/7.
Misinformation is something that is going to go on for, you know, as far as the power game is concerned, because, as far as the power game is concerned, one of my favorite quotes when it comes to information dissemination comes from the world renowned linguist and scholar, that's Noam Chomsky. When he said propaganda, and that's a very interesting statement to think of, that propaganda is to democracy what violence is to dictatorship. Now, Noam Chomsky argues that to maintain order in a democratic society, some information either have to be, sometimes have to be intentionally withheld. And I try to wrap my mind around that every time I think, I scale that down the information dissemination from a national level down to a family level. Take a father, for example, who is sitting with his with his 10-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son. The kid asks, where do babies come from? Now, there is no responsible father on this planet who will walk through a 10-year-old, where babies come from, starting from when I took your mom on a date, all the way to what happened in labor, in labor in a hospital. You're gonna traumatize that child for life.
Yeah.
So, because they are not there yet in terms of understanding, all the nitty gritties of life. So, which is where stories like, babies come from a hospital, they are sent from, heaven. You're going to throw in all this, but sooner or later, the child grows and basically begin to grasp the understanding of the, of procreation in terms of the continuation of species and the biology that comes with it. Now, when you look at it like that, you understand that, every time I think about that, I look at it in a way that, as you and I are sitting here, as you can imagine, there's some information, they could be information that either the police, the Minister of Defense, the President, or the Intelligence Service knows about what's happening in Namibia, that, that's a no need to know for you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when you look at it like that, it's somewhat very easy to understand. But then sometimes that power then is just like every form of power is then abused. Like you have, your homies in the U.S. running Operation Mockingbird, where they just intentionally took a fraction of large, very big media house journalists to train them to intentionally you know, more like redact information from the general public.
Mm.
The problem with lying is that when the people you are lying to finds out that you have been lying to them, regaining their trust is not going to be easy.
Yep.
Yeah. So the question that's going to be ringing in everyone's mind, or it has, if it haven't been already, is one of how do you tell if information can be trusted or not? And the war in Ukraine and the war in what's going, and the war between, that whole, the war between Israel and Iran that was so short, if you blinked, you missed the whole thing.
Indeed. If you blinked, yeah.
If you blinked, you missed it.
You would have missed it.
Yeah. So when you look at that, this all basically started with the war in Ukraine. That's when I think for a lot of people came to realize that, okay, this is interesting. Now, because at this point, the entire Western media was very anti-war because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, a lot of people then started taking a few steps back and started going, okay, but that's what the US have been doing to pretty much the entire Middle East since the 1940s.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? That's when you are seeing, and then you now have a lot of independent journalism now comes in. You have the internet now comes in, because back in 2015, I read, the American independent journalist, Jeremy Scales' book, Dirty Wars. He wrote a whole book on Black Waters, the American private military contractor.
Yeah.
And what they were doing, they were basically running around Iraq, trigger happy, and held them accountable for that even to this day.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at that, and everyone was now asking a question, why is this coming from an independent journalist? Why is it not coming from these established media houses? Of course, there was a question of legitimacy with regards to the source. But then, I think what exacerbated it, or more like what made it very clear for a lot of people, was the escalation of the tension between Hamas and Israel. Was that back in 2023?
Yeah.
That's when you see that the type of anger and the point of view with regards to military conflict that was directed towards Russia, back in 2022. There was more of a dial down on that when it comes to what's going on between Israel, between Israel and Hamas. Mm. That's when everyone was like, what is the difference? Now you have a lot of people going like, well, I can't trust mainstream media anymore. Now I'm moving to social media.
Yep.
Now that creates a very giant problem for governments that are trying to fight misinformation, because social media is ripe with it.
No, social media is rife with it. Social media also, obviously, I think we'll have to end here, yeah. But just to end off on this particular note, the unfortunate downside is you see the influencers appealing more, the influencers' personalities, the AI chatbots appealing more to the younger generations, the younger age groups and age brackets in any country and so forth. And it makes things difficult for verification of the sources and the information. And I've seen an AI chatbot interact with a human specifically. There's a Zimbabwean project in some, it was during that AI course that I attended the start of the year. I was like, and this is literally on our WhatsApp feed, because we were on a Zoom call going through this, and it was weird. It was surreal. But then you, the human, you still have to do the legwork. You still have to go out and get the data and the context and the interviews and the information and read the stuff before you give it to the AI, because the AI, all it does is present.
So it's just a fancy.
It's a glorified PowerPoint. It's a glorified PowerPoint.
Glorified PowerPoint. All right. We have to go.
On that note, guys, let's see each other again, same time, same place.
Yep. Tomorrow. And be careful. Don't drink and drive. It's still Heroes Day, but, just celebrate, the heroes. Don't try to be one and get yourself in on the wrong side of the, you know, with the authorities.
Exactly, exactly.
So
these guys.
That until tomorrow. Y'all stay tuned in for the next program. That's Business and Economic Segment with David.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.